Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine others, and I'm reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
The door to hell has been opened. The spillage of all human concepts, extrapolations, didactums, things that have really weird names and words to which the concepts are extremely extraordinarily and possibly even mind exploding. These things, we peek into the portal that leads down to the fiery pits of hell, and we think and we conceptualize and we consider and we quantify and we codify and we collect and we combine and we coerce these concepts into making meanings of bigger things, words, concepts, imaginations, extrapolations, things we just throw and shove into a machine and push out the way that an entire species might combine, recombine, decombine, combine all over again, and then get into the field and plant some wheat, and from that wheat grow the stalk that will kill the jack, the giant, the beanstalk, the whole nine yards of the entire fantasy nursery rhyme, and they will not have enough time to finish the war, to finish the peace, to get the talks back into going places and taking all the concepts, rewrapping them all back up and putting them forward to a small little place, a small little world, a small little mind to keep the possible potential peaceful, I don't know, there's more P words in there, but we'll just keep going without them, to exasperate the situation to make it even worse. And then we complain about the weather, this fiery orb in the sky that keeps raining down on us, explaining that there's more heat to be had, that the souls of billions of peoples, both existing in today's world, yesterday's world, tomorrow's world, all of the world that has ever been or will be, can combine itself and find itself once again. Again in the fiery pits of hell, and the doors remain open, and we continue to peek inside and check it out again and again and again to find out what's going on in the universe, of how the entire mess, the mixed up combinations of so many permutations and palpations and heartations and these things that go in all kinds of other ations and ideations. I like that word, by the way. Ideation. It's a great word. I love it. And now all of these different conceptions, all of these different misconceptions, all of these different angry things, all of these different little happy things, all of these things that are all over the universe are just going to go and go smack and hit each other, and then the door will close. Hi, EW, how's it going?
I was wondering if you're going to open that door back up so I can come in here.
Nah, the door's been open, it's been closed, it's been open, it's closed. It's bloody hot out.
Yeah, I was wondering why you were doing that, but now I understand.
You know, it's like the whole monologue thing is completely random, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I don't even know what the heck I'm doing most of the time. Don't even call me a hipster. I swear to God, somebody ever calls me a hipster, I will pop them in the throat.
I think, yeah, I don't know.
He's not calling me a hipster, so that's okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Uh-oh. Hey. I ain't no freaky diggy little hipster type dude. I had my beard way before hipsters started doing that. I saw this one guy today, had the freakiest beard, it was like this big hoop thing. Then he comes out from behind the desk and, holy shit, man, what the hell are you doing wearing shorts like that? It was just weird.
He was very well versed in the no pant zone.
He's definitely not wearing pants. He was actually in a food-serving establishment that was very warm inside and didn't have any air conditioning. So I'm assuming the dress code was a minimalist environment. It's like, okay, give me my fries and I'm out of here. Thanks, bye. The fries were good, by the way. But I may not come back during the summertime. I don't need to see that shit. I'm sorry. I just don't. But I have to use a swearing word here.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to bleep the word, though.
Warning.
Mother bleeping sharks in space?
Sharks?
Have you seen the movie?
Which one?
To which I'm speaking of, the shark movie. The shark movie of all shark movies this year and every year.
Sharknado?
Yeah.
No, I have not seen the new one yet.
Okay, well, I have some news for you.
It's going to be new. It's going to be, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is the dumbest freaking movie ever. I swear to God I'm losing dumb points. What? What do you mean? Who's that? Holy jeez. And how many special guests were in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
At least 300.
Yep.
I'm not joking. I saw people in there as like, what the hell are you doing in this movie? I saw, was it Lou Ferrigno? Yeah, I think it was Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno was in the movie. He had a line. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like it when I'm angry. And I was like, that was funny. Huh?
Wasn't he in past movies?
Oh, he's been in lots of movies.
No, in the past Sharknados.
I don't think so. I don't know. He could have been. I'm sure Jack will tell me.
Right?
If he's catching up. He might. I don't know.
It'll take him a minute to catch up.
It'll take him to 30 seconds to catch up.
Yeah.
So, I love the subtitle to the movie, Oh Hell No. But what I really didn't like is the fact that at least 14 different people in the movie say, Oh Hell No. It's like, oh, geez, man. Once was enough. So, and seriously, why are you people macking on Will Smith's Oh Hell No?
See, what I would do is create a movie called Chopper and then just have, you know, Schwarzenegger come out so many times. Get to the chopper!
Chopper!
Yeah, exactly.
So, if you don't watch these movies or do watch these movies, and by the way, if you haven't seen it by now, you're probably not going to be seeing it anytime particularly soon. However, I will just ruin the crap out of it.
It'll be on Netflix. And
it should already be on Netflix, I would imagine.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's going to be part of the August release.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so articulatedly programmed.
Somebody's got a program.
I don't know half these people who were guests on this movie, okay? I don't know them. But as soon as I saw someone, I was like, I know that one. Wait a sec, I know that one too. Who the hell is that one? Okay?
All right.
Now, check this one out. This one kind of annoyed me, but only because I realized who it was after I'd finished watching the movie. Ann Coulter.
Really?
Yeah, she's the vice president. It's like, what?
That would be a name I would not have expected in this.
Okay, somebody's making a political statement. Surprise! I'm sure somebody's got some kind of political platform they want to put forth.
Right.
Bo Derek was in this movie.
That I did know.
She's the mom. That... She was actually probably the best actress in the movie.
Really?
Oh my God, Kenan Sell movie I have to watch. I haven't watched it yet. Lavantula.
They had the Hoff.
David Hoff. I didn't like him in this movie. He was stupid. Mind you, he was stupid in every movie. I expected he was going to end up being David Hasselhoff playing David Hasselhoff. But no. It was David Hasselhoff playing secret agent, super duper astronaut, kind of maybe wants to be guy. And that's where the whole point of sharks and mother freaky bleep space. I don't get it. How is it that sharks can breathe in space? That's the part of the movie that you're concerned about? That's a line in the movie, by the way.
I want to know how a tornado gets into space.
How does an entire wall of tornadoes come? How is it that, hey, have you noticed that these sharks are not eating fishes anymore? What do you mean? They're eating birds. What? Yeah, they're like staying up in the clouds now. You mean... They're flying? Yeah! So, they're eating birds. Okay, first off, no. Second off, hell no. Third off, if by this stretch of this movie, or series of movies, let's even just go with this third movie, there would not be enough freaking sharks in the entire ocean to be on these movies.
Oh, no, no. I figured that a long time ago.
I mean, okay, I could buy into one Sharknado.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. By the way, Jack just mentioned something. It's like... Hasselhoff actually played Nick Fury in a movie in the 80s.
Yes, I remember.
It was awesome. It was funny as hell. It was so bad. But moving back.
I'm looking at the names of some of these people in here. Really? You didn't know some of these people?
Okay. I don't know their names. Okay. I know their faces. Jackie Collins is the one that killed me, though. Hi, I'm Jackie Collins. Your wife wrote a book. It was okay. But I want to write one about you. Would that work? Sure. He seems like a nice fellow. Sign him up.
Penn and Teller were in there?
Yes, Penn and Teller. Oh, I recognize them.
Okay.
Penn and Teller were funny.
You didn't recognize Harvey Levin?
Name does not ring any bells whatsoever for me at all.
He's the guy who hosts TMZ on TV.
Okay, first off, I don't watch that crap.
I didn't say you had to.
I don't even watch TV, regular cable anymore much.
I mean, and then I'm seeing, like, Jerry Springer.
Yep, Springer was in it. I saw him. Cindy Margolis.
Yeah, yeah.
The former kind of not quite, but kind of really is, porn person.
Mm-hmm. Tim Russ, Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, Steve Guttenberg was on it. He was funny. He was bad.
Yeah, so I'm looking at some of these names just like, wow.
Yeah, it's like, where did you dig these people up from? I see, and I know there's a scene in there where they're dressing up Ziering's character in the flight outfit. It's like, holy shit, those are real astronaut guys. I've seen them. And, well, I've seen pictures of them or whatever, but... And no, it didn't take me three movies to figure that stuff out. I knew it all together. It's just, this is, I swear to God, the dumbest version, the dumbest iteration they've had of this bloody franchise so far. And they're going to continue again. This is their yearly thing now. Shark Week! Sharknado!
Frankie Muniz.
Frankie Muniz was actually fun.
Was he?
Yes, him I liked. His death scene in the movie is awesome. See, that's kind of the whole thing in the movie like this. You don't have a cool death scene, you're just not cool enough. Okay? So his death scene was, oh, I gotta get back to the RV or whatever. I gotta get back. He's running. Running. Shark flies out of air, just takes his leg off. Whoosh! I gotta keep going. Crawls back to the thing. Shoo! Another shark takes his arm off. I gotta keep going, gotta go in there. Zoom, gets up there and he's on the roof. Another shark takes his other leg off. I gotta keep going, I got an arm left. Then another shark comes and takes his arm off. I don't have any arms, limbs back. And he starts keeping on, gets to the big red button, dunks it with his nose. Kaboom. Oh my God, that was corny as hell.
I know one guy you didn't recognize just by his face.
What?
Michael Winslow.
I did.
Did he do sound effects?
No.
See, you can't put the man in the movie if you're not going to let him. Gosh.
I think he might have done one little one, but I didn't really notice it. That's how likely it was. And Lou Ferrigno was in the movie. When I first looked up the IMDb, I couldn't find his name. But then I see it in this one. He's like way down at the bottom of the... Oh, yeah. Funniest thing. George R. R. Martin was in it. Kathy Lee Gifford, well, she was obvious because she was hosting a show. And we're happy! Drinking wine. And it's like, okay. But all these people who are in as themselves, half these people I don't know who they are. The NASA launch director was on.
Well, but you said they were doing the...
Well, they did the whole part of the thing about launching a shuttle from NASA to help stop the tornadoes. And it was like, oh my God, that's so bad. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at some of these other names, hoping I can remember some of them. I'm sure I know many of them in different things that they've been in, because I'm willing to bet that, oh my God, there's another NASA person, that I've seen them in other things that is just funny. But man, it's like, on one hand, I'm debating on, hey, this is just funny. It's a good thing I went in knowing that this was just going to be one of these stupid, dumb movies in the beginning. Because if I didn't know that, I would be like, what the hell is this shit? But because I did all good, like, okay, I can laugh. But on the other hand, it's like, there are people who think that this is actually good quality programming. It's not. It's, how can we rope in a whole bunch of guest appearance people, cameos in a movie, and make money? Hey, let's do this! Yeah? Oh, and the funniest thing is, seeing as how we're talking about Lavantula as well, Steve Guttenberg is the star of Lavantula. Okay, and it is essentially a mini reunion of Police Academy, because there's a bunch of other Police Academy people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Guttenberg was originally approached to do Sharknado. He turned it down.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I just heard about this on the weekend.
He'd be the main character.
He would have been the main character. He is the main character in Lavantula. So from what I understand, when he got approached to do this, because Lavantula is being done by the same people as Sharknado, he said, oh, hell yeah, let me get it. I'll get giddy. Yeah, go.
Then he got the good offer, and when Sharknado came to him, he said, oh, hell no.
No. When he went to when Sharknado was thrown at him, he said, I'm not doing this shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When it first came to him, it was, oh, hell no.
Exactly. And then Ian Ziering, whatever the hell his name is, said, yeah, I'll do it. But man, Tara Reid, I don't want to be down on her or anything, but she looks so tired. I just, every single word that came out of her mouth was driving me up the walls like hammers being hammered in my head. Because, good God, woman, put some emotion in.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, no, Mom, that's okay. We're just going to get to a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Where's a safe place? Oh, I don't know, but we'll find a safe place. We just got to get the daughter, whatever her name was. What was the daughter's name? Claudia. We're just going to get Claudia and go find a safe place. And in the second movie, she got her hand bit off by one of the sharks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she's got a new hand. Now she's got a bionic hand, all right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So there's a scene where, it's actually two scenes, but the one scene where, I don't want to spoil the other scene, but the one scene was shark falls in the pool. It's like, I could have saved him, Mom. I could have saved him. She'd pulled her hand off and popped out as a mini chainsaw from her arm. Like, oh, my God. Cool as hell would that be to have, but not very applicable. Oh, you know, it's like, ugh. But I laugh at that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just sorry. I'm just full of Sharknado.
Yeah, I could tell.
It's just the dumbest movie I've ever seen. And I can't help but say that. It was the dumbest movie.
And next one comes around and he's going to be watching it.
Well, hell yeah.
See?
At the end of the movie, and everybody should go and vote. Please do. I want you to. Vote on whether or not Tara Reid's character lives or die.
Wow.
They're holding an online vote so that everybody else can vote whether or not Tara Reid's character continues to live in the movie. I suspect that she's going to be voted dead.
Interesting.
She probably already is half dead in all the movies. I swear to God that when I saw the first one, the first thing I said about Tara Reid was, wait a sec, she's dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this movie, she's like dead through the whole movie. It's like, there is no ounce. You know how I feel about Kristen Stewart?
Mm-hmm.
Tara's just a little bit better than her.
Yeah, it's going to be the zombie version of her.
It's going to be the emote off between the two of them. They're going to get together in a room. They're going to blah, 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 blah. No, you go. No, it's okay, you go. Nah, you sure? Yeah, I'm sure you go. No, I think you should go. Okay, I'll go. Pop. How about you? Yeah, I'll go now. Oh, pop. That's going to be their whole emote off. It's like, oh my God, you people, get a grip, get some lady balls and do something. Jeez.
Pull the trigger.
Yeah.
You know what? That's what it is. They're the human version of Eeyore.
Eeyore.
Don't mind me. Nobody ever does.
No, I think he's got more emotion because he's got melancholy and apathy working for him.
He does.
These two girls don't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They don't even have that. They have a piece of wood. Hmm. I'm going to spread my cheeks. Put that piece of wood back up. There's no other way I'm getting across his screen. I'm just saying.
I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Have you noticed I don't know if you've actually done this with all these new movies coming out, but have you ever gone back and watched any of the old movies and start seeing these actors and think, holy crap, that's that person?
Yes, I have.
I was just doing that with the Terminator movie.
Who did you see in Terminator 1 that was like, holy crap?
First person I saw, right, I can't remember who the other guy is. There's two of them, but there's Bill Paxton next to another guy, and I know those two are like very familiar faces, but it's like, oh, damn, that is Bill Paxton.
Yep.
So, and as it continues, I mean, then I'm also kind of like, God, I watched this back then, because it's just...
Oh, dude, yeah.
It's not the same quality as it is now, but
you can't go back to some of these movies and not have a sense. Well, Lance Henriksen was in it as well. You can't go back and expect to have the same quality of I don't know, visual communication that more the modern movies. I'll give you a perfect example. There's a cartoon I used to watch as a kid called Battle of the Planets.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, it was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I'd rush home from school to go watch this show. I tried watching that show a couple years ago. I picked up a couple of DVDs. It's like, hey, this is going to be great. I'm going to watch this movie, this show. It's like, oh, it's going to be cool. It's awesome. It's like, show it is. Like, what the hell is this shit?
Yeah.
This one kid, and Casey Kasem does one of the voices, by the way. This one kid's voice in the show is like, can I just reach through and pull his larynx out? Because that would sound better. His voice was so freaking annoying. It's like, oh, I had to turn it off. I couldn't watch any more of it. I just flat out, I can't watch any more of it because of the one character's voice. He's in the entire series. So it's like, oh, maybe they'll just kill him off somewhere along the way. It's like, no, he's every episode. I can't watch it.
Well, I was kind of watching Arnold's performance there. You know, you kind of compare it because, like, they're bragging about Maggie. And then, you know, his acting there versus what it was. And I'm just like, wow, no wonder they kept him with so many, so few lines back then. You know, I mean, now he's, you know, he's more seasoned actor, whereas back then he just, yeah, you just didn't make him talk.
Have you seen Maggie yet?
I did. Remember, and we talked about it.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying. He's got some depth and breadth and scope.
Yeah, it's a whole different view than it's what, like, I'm expecting, yeah.
Dude, he's old guy. He's someone's dad.
Yep.
I could believe him being someone's dad. Look at that shit. That's what someone's dad would do. It's like, okay. Totally believable in that movie. Totally, I freaking recommend it to everyone. Because it's a zombie movie. And the thing about zombies is they're still popular.
Mm-hmm.
The movies are still doing well. The books are still doing well. The shows, the merchandising, the marketing, everything is still going strong on zombies. It's been going on for like 7 years now.
And it hasn't stopped.
Yeah. And it has no edge that says, hey, it's ending. It's like it keeps... And every time they keep reinventing, doing something new and neat and strange and weird and wonderful about with zombies, it's like, oh my God, you guys just won't stop. I love it. Maggie is a great play on the whole concept of a tearjerker movie with zombies. I was totally surprised. And it's like, I like this movie.
Yeah, it was definitely a different take on zombie films. Yeah.
And then we have The Walking Dead, and we have the new series Fear of the Walking Dead. We have iZombie. We have all these other things. We even see commercials now with zombies in the commercial as part of the commercialization of products and stuff. And this is just awesome. And it just means, okay, so when is the shoe going to drop? Like, when? We're still good for another year? Okay, great. Let's go some more.
Wait, have you been watching The Walking Dead? Because I'm sure there's a couple of times a zombie's lost a foot and the shoe dropped.
Well, yeah. I'm sure it's not necessarily even their own shoes or foot.
Who knows?
Have you ever seen the movie The Big Bus?
I can't say. I don't know. Maybe. I don't think
so. I'm sorry. It was horrible. We were all dying. It was only... I didn't want to eat nobody. They cooked everybody else. And then they brought me over the soup, and it was like, it was this one guy's foot, and this was his shoe! Big Bus is about a...
Oh, it's super a 1976 movie, yeah.
Yes, but there was a whole element behind it about cannibalism. Mm-hmm. And I don't really need to go on it. The joke was the joke. And moving on.
Yes.
I think it's time for an intermezzo, so that then after the intermezzo, I can talk about the second movie this weekend.
The second?
Mm-hmm. As if all of that Sharknado angst and whatever for the third one was not enough, I watched another movie this weekend, too.
Ooh. I wonder if it's in the box offices. We'll find out.
No.
No? Oh,
no. Cool.
Okay.
Tick, another click, that's the song we got. I don't know, it's something from Veruca Salt called Awesome. Because why not? Everything is awesome. And if you live a life with awesome, then awesome is what becomes and becomes what the awesome. And the awesome is, it's a whole cycle that keeps going around and around and around and around. You back there, EW?
I'm just waiting for you to sing the Lego song.
I ain't singing no Lego song. Did you know that in the Lego movie there's only the two songs?
Yes.
Everything is awesome, and then the Batman song? I'm so sad, my parents are dead. Dude, it's like real. It's like emotional. It's like real, man. I have to watch that movie again.
It's the perfect song.
Did you know that they have a Lego Doctor Who movie coming out?
Yeah.
I will watch that.
I saw the previews and I was like, yes.
Yeah, it's all timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly stuff.
Yeah.
Right, okay. I will watch that one too. But today's second movie we're going to talk about. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Are you ready? Have you got your hat firmly seated in place on top of your head?
Well, it's firmly seated in place, but it's not on my head.
Okay. Lake Placid versus Anaconda.
Like the two movies together?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's like, let's take one bad horror movie, and let's take another bad horror movies franchise, and put them together to make another horror movie franchise combination.
Uh-huh.
So, we got the big-ass killer crocs, and then we got the big-ass killer snakes. Let's just kill everybody. Okay.
Yeah, why? Why not? Well, nobody needs to be alive to watch it.
Sure! The movie, I'm sorry, was less dumb than Sharknado 3. It had more plot. It had more points of, oh, okay, yeah, sure. I could almost buy that.
It didn't have acting logs.
No! It did have the one guy, what's his name? Oliver Walker. I don't know who he is. Let's see. Does he play in anything else famous? Yeah. No, I've never heard of any of those. But he was in the TV series Atlantis.
Okay.
I didn't even know there was a TV series called Atlantis. Oh. That wasn't called Stargate Atlantis. But funniest thing in there is, you know our good old friend Robert Englund?
Yeah.
He's in it.
Yeah, no, but he's been doing a lot of B-films lately.
Yeah, but he's horrible. In this movie, he's horrible. Well, he's playing a deliberately horrible character, so it's like he's playing the character the way the character is supposed to be played.
Most disturbing part is you're actually saying the actual title, like Placid versus Anaconda. Oh, God.
Why is that terrible?
I was really hoping this was just a, you know, kind of your view on it, and you were going to break out the actual title of the movie, but...
No, that's the actual title of the movie, Lake Placid versus Anaconda.
Yeah.
Here's the premise of the movie. Here's how they start the basics of this movie. Oh, evil pharmacy corporation is trying to mate the cellular structure from the crocodiles in Lake Placid with the super-duper whatever they've got figured out in the Anaconda, and they're trying to make a super drug that's going to make them millions and billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay? And then, oh, oops, something went awry. What a surprise. Wouldn't have been a very fun movie if it didn't go also awry. Right? But yep. I had to point out one thing. So, there's this one character, one gentleman in the movie called Nigel Barber.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him in a couple of things. I didn't really know who he was, so I've looked up his IMDb. So he goes from Lake Placid versus Anaconda, which has got to be I'm going to work here for like a weekend, I'll get paid, I'll do a couple of shots, and then I'll move on to something else, I'll get a couple of dollars, blah, blah, blah. And then one, two, third movie out is Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. How do you jump like that? Oh, and by the way, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh movie after that, Spectre.
Yeah.
How do you jump like that?
I don't know.
This guy's been doing movies like for a long time.
Yeah.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, he was in that.
Yeah, I mean, he was also in RoboShark.
Yeah, well, and Firequake, and there's a whole bunch of other crappy movies down there too. Carpe Diem. Wait, whose voice was I just doing right there?
I was thinking it might have been something along the lines of... Peter?
Maybe. I don't know. It's probably some vague fog in the back of my mind right now that just sort of comes out every once in a while and goes, I'm going to screw with you. It's like, okay, you can screw with me all you like. I don't really care because the voice is going to be the voice is going to be whatever the voice is going to be. So another character person in this movie that I actually liked was Yancey Butler.
Oh, okay.
Do you know who Yancey Butler is?
I want to say yes.
Oh, wait, she was in both Kick-Ass movies. Yes, that's right. She was...
She's a girl.
What's his... No, yeah, she's a girl.
No, yeah, she was...
Nancy's usually a female character, person's name.
I know that. I mean, she was...
She was, what the hell, motherfucker's mom.
Yeah.
Crap, what the hell was his other name? The Red Mist. The Red Mist. Yep. But I remember her specifically for Witchblade.
Oh, I would have thought you would have said a different one. Okay.
Which?
No, huh?
Which one?
As far as TV shows or movies?
Anything.
Well, I mean, Wolfsbane was the one that I know that a lot of people talked about.
Well, she was also in Drop Zone with Wesley Snipes, and that's the other thing that I remembered her from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But all the rest of these things that she's listed for is like, I never watched that. I never watched that. There's no way in hell I was ever watching that.
She's more popular as a TV actress than anything else, Law and Order and stuff like that. So people, you know, I know you're not one of those people to watch those. I didn't even know there was police procedurals. Yeah, I didn't even know there was a TV series called South Beach. Oh my God.
Yeah, there's a TV series called South Beach.
But, yeah, I mean, I knew about her being, but it was one episode of NYPD Blue, and I think that was what really sparked her career.
Okay. You mean it wasn't their guest appearance on 11 episodes of As the World Turns?
I mean, what is that, a soap opera or something?
Oh, wait, there's a whole Lake Placid movie I haven't seen yet.
The final chapter?
The final chapter.
Yeah.
Crap! I have to get that now. Because I've seen Lake Placid 3. That's why every time I see Yancey Butler show up in a title credit, I think, oh, she's the sheriff, right? Yeah. And there she was. She was the sheriff.
Was she in the? Was she the sheriff in this one?
Yes. Well, she was the sheriff in Lake Placid 3 as well.
Ah.
She's the sheriff in everything I've ever seen her in, or she's a cop of some sort. But she's usually like the sheriff of a small town or whatever. And that's how I always remember her about anything nowadays. She always seems to play some kind of cop character.
Right.
Except in Kick-Ass. Then she plays the villain criminal's wife, who's all drunk all the time. But whatever. So, this is the thing. The last couple of weeks, there has been a crap ton of good, bad, they have the shark in them. There was two other movies that I was planning on watching, but I couldn't get to watch them. But I'm going to. I will find them, and I will watch them. And I'm sure there's one of my crazy rep theater friends who probably is showing a copy of it somewhere around in this city. Mega Shark versus Colossus. I really want to see that one. And Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf.
I'm still laughing at that name. I just can't believe.
Seriously.
I just can't believe they're, yeah.
Casper Van freaking Diem is in that one. It's like, okay, I'll watch that. It's a Roger Corman movie.
Mm-hmm.
I have to see that.
I don't know. I mean, he's good now, but...
Oh, no, it's a horrible. It's probably horrible.
Yeah, I was just trying to give the guy credit.
They're horrible.
But all these names just it kind of reminds me of the old, if you remember growing up, that you'd always get the low budget films, and usually it's the, you know, I don't want to just call it any specific way, but I guess I have to, you know, the Oriental films, you know, so you got
Asian
that
cinema. Yeah, we used to call them Asian cinema.
Yeah, so you got that horrible dub over and you're just like cracking up half the time because you know. Yeah, this is what I'm kind of picturing when I'm hearing some of these titles. I'm just like, yeah, I'm going back.
Oh, no! They've got perfect English in all these movies. No, almost every single one of these is like, they're American movies. They're done by American actors. They're done by American speech coaches. They're all full-on, regular, hot diggity dog English.
Yeah, and what gets me even more is, like, you know, you see some of these big name actors and or known name actors, I guess, let's put it that way, and then you just like, really, and you just, all you can do is shake your head, like, really, you just did that.
Okay, really? I'm looking at the cast list for Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf.
Uh-huh.
I only recognize one name on there.
And that's fine. Everybody else is like, all right, okay, whatever. Have fun. Make a movie with a lot of splotty things. Okay, I'm going back to Lake Placid versus Anaconda for a second.
All right.
So the big-ass snake has this one special ability. It whips its tail around and slices you in half. Cool. No, it can't do that. I don't care how big an anaconda gets, it doesn't do that.
Yeah.
It goes squishy. Yes, it does. It squishes things. That's why it's called a constrictor.
Yeah, it's kind of like I was watching the first episode of the Hercules TV series. And, you know, the Medusa character they have, the only way you could get turned to stone was by getting touched by the tip of her tail. It's like, that's not right.
Well, I mean, I can buy into that as a variation on the theme, because that's going to be easier to avoid and harder for the Medusa to, like, mess everybody up. Because the biggest problem with the Medusa myth is, well, if you look in its eyes and you turn to stone, wouldn't that mean there'd be a lot of stoned people around her? Like, there would be a lot. I mean a lot. Every single person would look, oh, shit, she's beautiful. She's got snakes in her. Oh, shit, I'm stoned.
Yeah, the way I understood the myth of her was more the fact that, you know, she was so beautiful that men could not stop from gazing in her eyes. And that's how, you know, and so once the time was right, that's how she was able to make you.
That's definitely part of the Greek, Roman, whatever it is, mythos, was exactly it. She was so beautiful, but she was cursed to have the snakes and this god-awful curse that no matter how close she got, they got zapped.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sure, but I mean, the problem with that from a story visual point of view is that means every single guy that gets near her is going to go bam, 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 and that's going to be a pretty boring story. Because, like, right up front, every single guy that goes near is going to bam, he's stone.
So, yeah.
So it just makes it kind of an easier story to go with, eh? Hey?
I think so.
So did you watch any movies this weekend?
I have, more for kind of going back, because it was, I clicked on one, I was going through Netflix looking at these new films, and I clicked on one and accidentally clicked where, on, you know, the old Terminator movie, and this got me... Oh, and that's something, too. I noticed at least one thing about the Terminators that was consistent was the music.
It's not the same. It's just very similar.
Yeah. But, and then, you know, from there, it kept, you know, I saw the people, and I was like, oh, my God, now I gotta know. So I literally just started catching bits and pieces of different movies, going back, trying to figure out, oh, you know, so... But I did get a bunch of news on stuff that was coming out. Now, of course, Jack beat me to it. Ant-Man's doing great. It's like, you know, kicking butt in theaters.
Mm-hmm. It's doing well. It's not doing Jurassic World well or Guardians of the Galaxy well or Avengers well yet. But it's doing well enough to hold its own.
Well, and as you said, yet.
Yet. I don't think it's going to get that big. But I think it's going to do a solid representation.
Well, I agree with you, and remember we said that the first Guardian or second, not Guardians, the what was the other
Avengers?
One? The Avengers. Avengers. So far to this point, according to Fandango.com, has done, you know, 13 weeks, $456 million.
It's respectable.
Yeah. 13 weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's respectable. That's got nothing to do with DVD sales, merchandise sales, OEM sales, licensing, tying, commercials, yeah. Marketing, blah, 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 blah.
Well, Ant-Man's only been out 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and is already at $106 million. So right. I have a feeling that that's going to probably... And I think I said this last time that we discussed it. I said that I believed Ant-Man was going to outdo, you know, Avengers.
It might. Well, Avengers 2.
Avengers 2. Yeah, I guess that's the best way to put it.
Because it's not going to outdo Avengers 1. Yeah. And it sure as hell is not going to outdo Jurassic World, which did over $550 million in the first freaking week.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
But this crazy part about it is it's only grossed to this point 7 weeks $624 million. So it's not.
There's a tail off, man.
I know. It was like everybody got excited, went and wanted to go see it, and boom. And
exactly.
The one movie I thought was going to really do good, and this is the one I was going to try to go see, and I forgot it came out this last...
Are you going
to
say Pixels?
I was.
Do you see how badly it's doing right now?
Yes, I do.
It is bombing. It has got people saying, yeah, Adam Sandler, he's done as an actor now. He's done. He's over. I was reading an article yesterday. It's like, yeah, these are the reasons why he's done. He keeps doing the same movie over and over. And it's true.
I think it's his comedy. I think his comedy is washed out. Because I've seen him in doing serious films, and he does a really good job in these when he's not throwing his comedy in. But here, this is one of those films where he gets a chance to be what we know as Adam Sandler, and it's like, yeah, dude. I mean, it's like throwing Pauly Shore in a movie again and saying, okay, you get to be you. And you're just like, no. You know, so I think that's kind of where Sandler's.
There's a few other things to throw into that mix. Points that were raised when I read. One, he hates journalists.
I wonder why.
Well, they don't give him a good name, and he says, "Ah, fuck that. I'm not going to." Sorry, my bad. Forget that, and then doesn't want to do any. So he refuses to do social media. He refuses to put himself out there. He refuses to represent himself in order to integrate with modern technology society, which puts him off at a bit of a disadvantage because he's now no longer relating to his target audience. He's not, like, he is really just aimed at him as a consumer. Okay? So people like myself, people like you, and a handful of other people, we're that market that he's aimed at, and we keep growing up, and he keeps not growing up.
Well, and this film's concept is kind of aimed at us, but I just don't think it was, the previews were great, you know. But
I'm going to watch the damn movie. I don't care. I'm going to laugh my ass off because this is the kind of thing that I will, that's funny.
Yeah, don't tell anyone I killed a Smurf.
What? Yeah. In the commercial, yeah, yes. What? No, I'm just joking. Honey, don't say things like that. It's like, yeah, okay, that's the kind of thing I would actually laugh my ass off.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I don't care if it's bombing, but it is one of those movies like, yeah, it should have done so much better. Why didn't it? Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it has Peter Dinklage in it.
I think it might have done better if it wasn't up against Ant-Man. I mean, seriously, you're going to put it out when, box office killer is going to come out?
So. You don't know, though. That's kind of the thing. Ant-Man was not necessarily guaranteed box office killer. If it was, it would have been put out in the May 2-4 weekend.
No.
Sorry, in the May 1st weekend.
See, here's my thing, though. You've got Marvel films that are, like, freaking slaughtering. Maybe they're not, like, all-out setting records like Guardians.
Avengers and Guardians.
Yeah, but the fact is they're drawing people in. You know, you've got it going great on the TV series, you know, that's bringing the people in. So it's really making it might be the new zombie. In a sense, you know,
it's a short. This will be a short-term thing.
I don't know.
Let me rephrase. It's a short-term, large-term, in that it's going to be about 7 years or so of the superhero movies, and then all of a sudden, people are going to. This is boring. By the way, don't get me wrong. I love all of the Marvel movies because I think it's awesome. I'm very disappointed in a lot of the DC movies, but I have a little work project that I'm working on about DC and Marvel movies, and I'll explore that later.
Somebody needs to break down and do a DC versus Marvel movie. Oh, okay.
But here's what I'm thinking. Ant-Man is appealing because it is not part of any of the big sets, right? It is not a, hey, watch this movie so that you can understand what that movie is going to be about. Watch this movie because then if you don't have this, and this movie, you're not going to understand what that movie is about. Ant-Man is about some guy who becomes the Ant-Man and does stuff. and it's a comedy. So it's the first of the Marvel movies that's actually done as a comedy, as opposed to a serious, hey man, that guy just killed my sister, I gotta beat the crap out of this guy, sort of thing. Sorry, yeah. Killed my brother, whatever. And the Ant-Man thing is a simple story. It's just basically meant to be a fun story. And Marvel's done a lot of comics that way, and that's kind of a lot of how some of their stuff... I mean, look at Deadpool. Deadpool's going to be awesome, and things like that. Marvel is very... isn't always been, but has become very smart with their movies. Okay, the marketing, the integration, the whole, hey, how do we level this strata? How do we get that thing going? How do we work these things? And you were mentioning earlier something about the 6-month timeline plans for the movies, and that so automatically segues into the way that Marvel works. Everything is a schedule.
Right.
Okay, if you ever get to talking to how the comics are done, it is all on a freaking schedule that they absolutely expect everybody who's part of the team to be on time.
Yeah.
Okay, the lettering, the coloring, the artwork, the storylines, the whole continuity that's going forward, they expect, this is supposed to be ready October 1st. It's ready October 1st. What do you mean it's not ready October 1st? You're fired.
Well, yeah. The only thing I will say that I'm really stoked about, and I don't know if you ever saw it, I'll probably have to give you the clip of it, or I think I actually put it on my Facebook already, but Paul Rudd actually gave a shout-out to one of the hosts here on TMB.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah.
Yes.
To me?
No, to Robbie Rist.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So, for those who don't know, Robbie Rist, it was Michelangelo and all the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and has a show here on Thursdays on TMV Cafe Radio. But, yeah, sorry, sad plug. Had to do it. Anyway, yeah.
I'll edit that out later.
Yeah. He's writing notes now. Yeah. No, but,
writing notes? Are you talking? I'm talking them up my butt. My butt's taking the notes, and I got it in the recorder.
Oh, okay. But I have to get it in before we
do it quick.
Night Nurse.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see my release about Secret Wars Journal number 5?
Yes.
Okay, so we all know that I absolutely love what the Saska sisters are doing in the mediums that they're working in right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's paying attention. So the Saska sisters have a storyline called Night Nurse in the Marvel's current redesign of their universe called Secret Wars Battle World, and the story that they're in is an anthology series, which is basically it has like 2 stories or whatever, and they're just very short. Focused on a character, and they have, hey, what did this person do, sort of thing. So they're writing a horror story, comic book-wise, for the character Night Nurse. And Night Nurse was, and has always been, in the Marvel Universe. Oh, the bad guys got hurt. Oh, the good guys got hurt. Oh, Night Nurse is just some nice person who goes around and helping people. Well, the superhero tights types. Doesn't charge them or anything like that, just sort of stitches them up and lets them back in the game. Woohoo! Yay, Night Nurse.
Yeah.
But, like, EW here wanted to mention something else, which I had pointed out way long ago was probably going to be the case. Go ahead.
No, I'm just kind of stoked that they're doing it, but was disappointed in the fact that they're not letting Daredevil announce it. Because they're claiming they're going to do a movie about it.
Sorry. Rosario Dawson.
I wasn't going to say the name. I was going to be nice if they haven't seen the series.
I don't care.
I know who it is.
If they haven't seen the bloody series by now, they shouldn't be listening to this show.
They need to be tuned into Netflix right now.
Exactly. So I know a lot of people who like Rosario Dawson. I don't mind her. I like her. I'm not like a fan of her or whatever. I really did like what she did in Daredevil as... some random nurse. Oh, wait. Could she possibly have been Night Nurse? Or maybe be the character that might be the representation for the possibility of what Night Nurse could represent? Yeah, I think that. As soon as I saw her on the show, that was my thinking.
Well, and what was it? That she was, before they ended the season on that, she wanted to disappear for a while. So, you know, I don't know. I just...
I think you upset Jack.
Hey, it's not my
you
fault.
You said it in the chat room. I didn't.
Oh, but that's who they chose right now. I'm just like, So, yeah.
Personally, I think that's lame.
I do, too.
And just so everybody else in the like audio world knows what we're talking about because they didn't come to the chat room as well, EW just mentioned Channing Tatum as Gambit.
Yeah, it's just, I'm so glad that they're saying he's turning it down at this point, but...
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's what the article was all about, but the fact was is they were actually going to have him as Gambit, and I'm just like, oh, hell no. If you really want to go with the Gambit character, maybe go with the guy that was in the Wolverine movie, but not... I mean, because he was a heck of a lot better.
Actually, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He was better. I would have bought into him. He's he was enough of a weirdo that he could have pulled off a Gambit.
Oh, I think. I mean, he still could. They could really still go after him, I think, and do it.
Yeah, but if you go after a guy with a stick long enough, they say, I'm getting my gun.
Well, you know, see, that's why I think you would like Gambit's character better, because he hits everything with a stick. No,
I do. I love that. So Channing is basically not going to be Gambit. So y'all can be happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what the article was all about, that he's given up the role.
Well, I'm reading several articles right now. 5 hours ago, they're saying, nope, definitely not. 12 hours ago, should he? Nah, he's gone. 22 hours ago, yeah, reportedly exited the show, the possibility.
He was also listed as one of the producers, which that kind of disturbed me too, because it's like, really, what does he know about, you know, any of those?
Okay, being a producer doesn't mean you know anything.
I understand that. That means you're one of the financial supports behind it. I'm totally with that. But, I mean, he would... most of these people who get in a producer's role want some kind of say in the film. That's what a lot of these producers have been about today.
Uh-huh. And you know what I have to say to that, right? Hit him with a stick!
Yeah, they probably did. They probably took out Gambit's stick and said, get the hell out of here. Oh.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, I don't have much more to say about that at this particular time and moment. In the sound of the ding, please ding yourself. Ding!
Magic Mike as Tatum. That's like four.
Oh, God. Do you know they had a sequel, Magic Mike XXL?
Yes, I know.
It's like, oh, I don't want to watch either of those movies because they sound dumb.
That's like Thor with... Oh.
Wait, have you seen the trailer for Vacation with Chris Hemsworth in it?
Yes.
Honey... What? He's like just sitting there with his like thing showing. It's just, oh my God, I want to watch the movie just for those scenes because it's so stupid.
Dude, they
stupid
did
funny.
They did the wonderful spoof on the car. Remember in the very
with the chick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That's like, oh yeah, so it's like they're doing the whole, hey, look, sexy girl in the hot car. And he turns around, it's like, oh, she's gone. What happened? The truck clipped her. Yes, I that's the kind of things that I do actually appreciate and enjoy quite immensely in movies like that.
Yes, most
yes. Definitely. Hey, we have a Tom.
Yes, he's my guest tonight.
Oh, hi, Tom. I'm going to have to say hi. So, we're about wrapping it up then. Anyways, because it is like I got 1 minute left on the clock, so how fast can I talk? I can talk pretty fast if I really want to go, but I'm not going to read the book because nobody understands me what I'm saying, because then it's just like, okay, put in a slow-mo, no. Too slow, fall asleep, squirrel. Okay, by the way, if you get the opportunity, there's a comic book that came out this week as well called Squarriers. It's about a bunch of animals. It's like the animals are smart, and they're living in, like, feral world. Cool. But... I just wanted to say, everybody, thanks for coming out to the show, listening, playing, going into the chat room, all this other fun stuff, listening on the other various streams, wherever they are, blah, it's on the internet. Come visit us on Facebook, you know the name. Come visit us again every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard or Eastern Daylight Time, whatever the goofy names mean. Follow us, friend us, share us, be well, be happy. Buy my book, Separate and Succinct, Desperate and Distinct. Buy the Hell series, Heroes in Hell series. There was stuff good. Oh, somebody was in John Carter? Really? Channing Tatum was in John Carter?
He's been in quite a few films, yes.
I don't remember him in John Carter.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, well. EW, thanks for being on the show again.
Yes, sir.
Everybody else, have yourself an after rotten great time.
Of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their pick.